There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Disclosures, soft and only getting softer, friends.
I love soft disclosure.
It does sort of feel like currently the UFO news. We're going to get into it. The UFO news kind of feels like, you know, when you're too drunk to have sex and you're folding it in.
I'm sorry, baby.
Sorry.
I ruined everything, baby.
I don't kind of feels like that.
I know for a fact no one at this table has the ability to fold it in.
I'm sorry.
Because if it is not hard, it is in us.
Yes.
We're not folding this thing anywhere.
I'm including the balls.
Oh, okay.
Because they also get very, very soft.
So what is it? I know it's like putting all the balls in the butthole, that's dogs in the bathtub. Balls in the vagina?
I think it's called putting the Louis Anderson in the kiddie pool. Right? We're having fun here. It's a relaxed fit.
Welcome to Last Podcast on the Left, everyone. Ben hanging out with Henry and Marcus. Thank you all so much for listening. A small reprieve after learning all about the troubled teen industry. Don't we have to learn about something that's real?
It's nice to do. It's good to do because it was a current issue. But this is also a current issue because we're watching the enveloping, the opening up, the gaping of the eye hole into the guts of the UFO world. We're looking at the very colon of the UFO information world right now.
Did you see the most recent footage of the orb?
There's a new orb?
There's a new orb.
Jeremy Corbel.
Jeremy Corbel just put out another picture of a flash of a chunk. It was some sort of another official video that he showed. He teased us with a slice.
He did indeed.
And it's like, it looks like a metal orb.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like Louis Anderson getting into a hot tub.
I did the bit.
All right, everyone. Today's topic, the Trinity UFO crash and the slow unfurling of UFO disclosure.
Now, for the last few years, students of the UFO phenomenon have been tantalized by the soft disclosure movement.
Everywhere.
It's spearheaded by the United States government.
Definitely use more wet t-shirts.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't want to see a ufologist tantalized.
Well, think about it. You just said you got home from a long day of work, right?
Doing what?
You're at the uranium mines.
Yeah.
Right? Every day, all you do, you got your pickaxe looking for that glow. Because you know what that glow means? If it's glowing, it's showing in my wallet.
Yeah,
right?
That's big old money. Uranium fever.
Oh, yeah. Fever called cancer.
You think the people that mine for diamonds keep the diamonds? They don't just go back to work.
They barter. That's what I would do. I'd be like, now I'm negotiating because I'm the one with the diamonds. And then all of a sudden, a guy shows up with a gun. Yeah. He fucking shoots you in the back of the head.
Right.
It's unfair.
It is.
But you get home from a long day uranium mining, right? And you know that your ufologist house husband has been hard at work, right? That's how he tantalizes.
So the ufologist is not working.
Yeah. Right. No, he's working. He's thinking. And he's at home. But we decided to do a surprise because he knew you had a long day.
Yeah.
Right? So first thing he does is he sits you down in your favorite little uranium lead lined chair, right? Because you have to sit in it, because if not, you contaminate the entire house.
That's nice.
Watch, right?
Yeah.
But then he comes out, he brings you a nice little glass of Chianti, and you notice he's only wearing his suspenders.
What's he suspending them to?
They're just hooked into the flap of apron flesh above his penis.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Right, because as you know, as a ufologist, you have four bellies. Because I have my top belly. I have my belly that reaches like kind of underneath my belly. It's like a shadow belly, right? Uh-huh. It's a hidden belly, kind of a vestigial belly. Uh-huh. Then I have my pubic mound that I consider a belly as well.
Absolutely. You can store nuts in there.
And there truly is then another little tiny little pouch just under that. So that's all the mystery that is me. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
And so that's how a ufologist tantalizes us, that one fold goes up. Ooh, what's that? Pink, kind of brown. Another fold goes up. Ooh, getting gray. Right? You never know what's underneath there. And then he brings you a bunch of borscht. Because again, that's a no cooking food.
Well, isn't that fantastic? All right. The Trinity UFO crash.
That's the thing. Is the students of the UFO phenomenon, they've been tantalized.
Okay.
The American public, on the other hand, couldn't give a fuck about soft disclosure. And this is, of course, I think it's due to all the shit that's gone down over the last six years.
Oh, fuck like you. What has happened? Have you seen this? What? Have you heard about this? COVID.
There you go. Thank you for being here, Mr. Leno.
Well, put another way, if the soft disclosure movement had begun in, say, 1996, Americans would be losing their fucking minds with excitement and wonder like it was the first 30 minutes of Independence Day.
Do you don't think that Bill Clinton wasn't in the fucking basement of the White House trying to figure out how he could put a picture of a UFO in the news and not talk about him shoving a cigar inside of that woman's vagina?
Well, like, think about it.
Like, he was desperate for disclosure.
Cigar. Umama.
Umama.
So was perhaps that foreshadowing, maybe Monica Lewinsky's pussy is a black hole. His cigar is umama. And when he inserted that said cigar, a Cuban, into Monica, it opened up a third world, then boom, that's why we have this alien spacecraft with us today.
We should have got him on having the illegal cigar. That's where the crime was.
That's all they smoke is the Cubans. Before the embargo, buckets of them. They were sending buckets of them.
That hypocrisy. That's the real crime.
That's the crime.
Well, as it is, the soft disclosure movement, which is changing the study of the UFO phenomenon before our very eyes.
Oh, yes.
It gets buried in the day-to-day media noise, even with regular coverage from reputable sources like the New York Times. Mm. But the thrust of this episode is one such article.
That's the hump of it. And you are truly, I love the fact that I got you now.
You got
me. And we talk about it on the show and the live show. We've talked about how, I have recruited you, but it's not a bit. It's nice because you were like, oh, this article is interesting. And I was like, I'm reaching him. He's making his own little UFO choices.
Well, it took the New York Times. Wow.
It wasn't even the New York Times. It just finally clicked. You know,
arguably the New York Times is at its political weakest point in the history of the New York Times.
Well, yeah, it's for the UFOs now.
Yeah.
Now it's for the UFOs.
Yeah.
So the New York Times has become the weekly world news.
No, it's not. No, but that
UFOs are real news now.
It's real news. That's the thing. You're misunderstanding because the Weekly World
obfuscating.
No, Weekly World News had one proper article every single story, every single week. There was something real.
People accuse me of being the op. I'm starting to think you're the op.
No. Yeah, no, not an op. Just simply a what would you call it? A contrarian agent.
Wow.
Interesting. Muddying the water.
I can't deny that. Otherwise, I'd be proving your point.
Exactly.
So, yes, I am.
Whoa.
All right.
Well, weird. Bad. That's bad.
I also just have to get this off my chest. I just want to see a commercial where it's just a miner going through and finding a diamond and crying because he's so happy he can feed his family, then getting killed and having a rich European man steal it from him. And then it just says he went to Jared's.
Entire fraudsters. Fraudsters did a whole series about how the diamond industry is fake. Okay. It is really, but yes, good
luck.
He went
to Jared's.
Well, just last week, the Times covered an amendment buried in the new defense bill that requires the Department of Defense to review historical data related to unidentified aerial phenomena, UAPs, which is the fancy new acronym for UFOs. Well, so this episode is not about the fact that this is in the New York Times. This episode is about what's in the new defense bill.
I wonder if they're going to be able to shave a little bit off of that nearly $1 trillion budget.
Well, this is what they did.
Where are they going to find the money?
This is literally like how they did it. Because again, you say fancy new word for UFOs. It's specifically done. To be
acronym.
It's
not a word. Don't confuse.
It's fine. It's UAPs. It's fine. You know what I'm saying. But the word for it is specifically to distance from the topic.
Yeah.
Right. It is made to sound like a thing that's not a thing. Unidentified aerial phenomena means nothing.
Yeah.
Right. It's just like anything can mean it. It's what they did with UFOs. They felt like because that's a non-serious term, this is how they use it to make it government so you can get a budget behind it.
To be fair to the government. Y'all kind of ruined the term UFO.
It's too late.
It is. It's got a connotation to it that you can't get rid of.
It really, there has a smell to it.
It's that very sweet, that third belly smell.
Well, introduced by Wisconsin Representative Mike Gallagher, who declined an interview request from the Times.
He just thinks it makes him gay.
He's got a weird little head.
Republican. The amendment requires a written report detailing the historical record relating to UFOs and the United States dating back to 1945, 2 years before the alleged Roswell crash. And I cannot stress enough, I really want the audience to know, this is an amendment to the defense bill. This is not speculation.
No.
This is fact.
Well, it's because they are uncovering a lot of shit because they're finally opening up the coffers mm-hmm. of all of the various like military people that have called in, said that they've seen shit that they kind of hidden or not fully looked into. But this is like a new list of sightings and experiences that they're finally. So I want to see this list that they're looking at starts around 2000, like it's in the 2000s. So you're looking at sightings and so from the last 20 years.
No, this one right here. No, this is going back to 1945. Goes,
yes,
yeah.
But the money went into the new sightings and that. But now they're trying to create a whole aggregate service for it because that's what Jacques Vallée is doing. He talked about it in a very boring 3-hour podcast. I listened to him talk.
I'm just so happy the U.S. government and the military is taking into consideration the people who are traumatized by seeing UFOs but not getting the respect they deserve. Now, if you were assaulted within the military, no hotline for you. Did you see something floating that looked like a tit? Call us right now.
You got to be careful.
May I ask this? Is it possible that Roswell is the Richard Reed of UFO sightings? Richard Reed, of course, the shoe bomber that they set up. They gave him a candle wick and they were like, we got you.
Yeah.
Because they set him up and he literally was walking like a flame. Is it possible Roswell was a recreation of what happened in 1945 so that they retro-engineered it and then got the press because of that?
But I don't think so. Because they had Roswell was a purposeful cover-up. If you listen to, what's his name, that actually went out and found the cover, you know, who found the wreckage.
Stanton Freeman.
No, he was the guy who, I'm talking about the guy who actually found the records, the guy that's in the photo that's holding up what is supposedly a debris from a UFO crash, but is actually just a weather balloon because he showed up with the debris from the UFO crash. And then they said like, no, don't show that. Show this. And he's like, it's a fucking weather balloon. They're like, yeah, we know. Fucking show it and tell them that it's a fucking UFO.
And then the New York Times continued that fucking bullshit at the very top of this article about the new sighting that Jacques Vallée has been sitting on like a big stinky egg, which is a story that happened before Roswell that is very interesting. This Trinity crash.
Yeah.
But it's very frustrating. Because at the top of the New York Times, it's like, when a top secret weather balloon crashed and created the Roswell stink. And it's like, fuck you, bro. It wasn't a weather balloon, man.
Interesting. It's like when your favorite adult porn star who has sex with men on camera and you find out she's a lesbian. And then that's why she hasn't been responding to your DMs. Got it.
Well, back to the amendment. This requirement has a deadline, the requirement for the report, of June 2024. But the reason why it has such a long timeline is that it requires a full review of all U.S. government information, including classified documents. And it's significant because the government is finally taking historical reports of UFOs seriously, rather than just recent military reports and footage.
They're looking at the historical reports, but they're leaving the hysterical reports behind. And I want to talk about the erasure from comedy and the government
really
and how
powerful.
We are all being canceled from being funny anymore.
Yeah, the chatbot's going to take our jobs anytime now anyway. I actually think June 2024 isn't long enough.
Yeah, a year and a half.
I think they almost gave themselves an out. This is like Bill Clinton saying, I'll talk to you for 2 hours. And then he debated what the word is.
Yeah, very smart. He's a good lawyer.
They can't do anything within 16 months.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think this is actually them being like, case closed once again, but they can sniff around a little bit.
Technically, they've already been working on it.
Yeah.
So this is like a thing that is, they're continuing it, but I do feel there's a little bit of that. This is like, that's why like we're excited for this new breakthrough in soft disclosure, but it's not necessarily like gonna necessarily like it's just, still the government.
Yeah, it's so hard because they're such douchebags.
Yeah. Well, just listen, let's unfold it a little bit more. You might change your opinion just a little bit because this is building upon what has come before. This report will be generated by the DOD's new All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. It's called ARO.
I like that, though.
Yeah. ARO. Yeah.
I do like ARO. ARO?
ARO. Yeah. Oh, yeah. A-A-R-O. And that's a new acronym that I'd suggest y'all get comfortable with.
ARO. Because that's good. We're going to be saying that because ATIP was technically like, that's defunct. And AUSAP is also long and dumb. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Also, George Santos's father died in Roswell. So maybe show a little fucking respect.
Man, I will never respect that man.
Well, ARO replaces the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group, which in turn had replaced the Navy's Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force.
They do such a good job of hiding shit inside of acronyms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what's different here is that the Navy's UAPTF was sort of
say properly.
UAPTF.
Thank you.
Yeah. That was sort of a hodgepodge. And the AOIMSG, the AOMSG.
AOMSG.
Yeah. That never had a director, which tells you that the Pentagon either didn't care, didn't want people to know, or didn't want to know because it would have resulted in more work and less certainty.
Well, okay. Over the last couple of UFO episodes, and I've heard people talk about this too often, where UFOlogists, they show up in a little town, right? And after a while, like they're like, let's say there's UFO flap, and there's a lot of stuff happening, especially after we just covered the Pennsylvania Bigfoot UFO invasion.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, do they show up in little towns for like a court mandate because they can't be around schools?
A lot of times. They're no longer legally allowed to drive, so they just live there.
Live there, yeah.
But the police are like sick of taking these calls, and they don't mind letting these nerds set up shop and take the calls for them. They're like, all right,
yeah,
you fucking do it. Which I sort of feel might have been the general sentiment amongst the military industrial programs.
You do it.
About, all right, you guys can handle this shit. Some of you guys are into it. The more wacky ends of it, like OSAP, and technically that whole group, which was just a arm of ATIP, which ATIP was the actual secret program, right? And OSAP was just a chunk of it. But they were like dumping a bunch of money into creating essentially theoretical patents on technology that we don't exist yet, that they are sort of extrapolating from the weird little bing bongs that they're seeing in the sky, that they are saying like, oh, maybe these are like gravitational engines, wormhole traveling, and they're preemptively trying to patent this shit without getting it. And so the military industrial complex is like, we're already too busy blowing up people in caves.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys just all do this?
Also, Henry, I'm sorry. You just canceled this 30 years from now because that's a racial slur to call aliens bing bongs.
Yeah, no.
And just because they do say bing bong when they walk. We didn't know that at the time of recording, to be fair.
I'm going
to
tell you all right now.
Bing bong, that is wrong, though.
It's all about being, you know why you have to be wrong? So you have room to grow to be right.
There you go.
So that's what this is all about. So this is just the beginning of my learning chapter. And so that's why preemptive, I'm sorry for everything, I am now an adult. That was me just as a little boy, a 38-year-old boy.
Absolutely. But it does remind me, we shot that little special that went absolutely nowhere in Stephenville, Texas. Mm. And one of the people that was just a local guy, great guy, but he was the hub and he would get calls 24/7.
Oh, yeah.
Because the police had to drink.
Yeah, with
they couldn't handle it.
I feel like there's a little bit of that. And then also we've talked about in several books, there were Skinwalkers of the Pentagon that George Knapp wrote that basically talks about a lot of these guys are just evangelical and they don't want anything to do with it. They don't like looking at it. They think it's scary.
Then there's also the wing of the evangelical party. Someone that actually works at Sirius, I was speaking with him. He thinks it's all God.
Oh, yeah.
He thinks it's all like angels and shit. So it's very bizarre. I don't think it would be the end of religion because people, as we learned in 2016, you just wrap it back in.
The Pope, the new fancy little slipper Pope, just said, I can't wait to baptize an alien. Mm. He can't wait to suck a fucking little alien's mound right before he can get to it. He can't wait to fucking molest these things.
Well, there's also the other side of it is that there's those that believe they're angels, but the larger side of it, and this has been going on since the 70s and 80s, I've got a whole collection of these fucking books, are Christians who believe that these are demons.
Yeah, that's the obvious. It's just so funny. It's anything.
Yeah.
It's literally just anything. They don't know what it is. And then half the rest of them are being like, there's cloud blips. You see that cloud pussy with butthole?
Yeah, I saw the cloud butthole. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just a weird ass cloud.
Call me alien. Call me demon. Do not call me bing bong.
I said, I'm sorry. I've grown. I've learned.
I really hurt when you call me bing bong. Anyway, I've got to go. Bing bong. Bing bong bong. Bing bong.
I'm
bing,
just, bong, bong. There's a stereotype for a reason.
From your grave.
Get ahead of the competition by using Stamps.com to mail and ship. Stamps.com lets you print your own package and shipping labels right from your home or office. Stamps.com has postage rates you literally can't find anywhere else, like up to 84% off USPS and UPS. For 25 years, Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses. And if you sell your products online, Stamps.com seamlessly connects you with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Use Stamps.com to print postage wherever you do business. All you need is a computer and a printer, and they even send you a free scale. We here at LPN love stamps.com. We use it all the time, and it helps our letters get to the people that need them the most. Set your business up for success when you get started with stamps.com today. Sign up with promo code LEFT for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code LEFT.
Well, with Aro, there is a director. His name is Sean M. Kirkpatrick, and he's a former chief scientist at the Missile and Space Intelligence Center, known affectionately as Dr. K. Kirkpatrick has a depth of expertise in scientific and technical intelligence, space policy.
The moon should not be allowed to vote.
Research and development, quote unquote, acquisitions. Ooh, oh. And a specialization in space, counter space mission areas.
Man, I've been having so much problems. Okay. Like just the counter space wars I have in my kitchen alone has just been absolutely ridiculous. I can't get a pasta maker.
That's actually really good. Good job.
I can't get a pasta maker.
You can't get a pasta maker. That's great. Good for you.
In other words, this Dr. K, he is no Luis Elizondo.
And that's saying a lot.
Yeah. He's a heavy. I mean, they're bringing in a serious man.
You're saying this side
because, well, technically, Luis Elizondo was the, for those of you who don't know, he was the outspoken former member of ATIP that came out and helked, quote unquote, leak these December 2019 videos and December 2017 videos, yeah. The Tic Tac, the Go Fast videos. He helped put them out to the world. But a lot of people believe that Luis Elizondo claims to be a lot more important to that ATIP program than he actually was, and then sort of just was the guy with the videos that talked to Tom DeLonge that got but then Tom DeLonge also has been like endlessly worked by these various intelligent ops that I don't think he has any fucking clue what he wandered into the middle of, which is why I think he's very happily going back on tour with Blink 182.
Thank God. Also, Foo Fighters will be replacing Pantera in Berlin.
That's great.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Pantera should not be around anymore.
I know.
It's over.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah, really is. It's a shame.
It is. Abbott Brothers made Pantera.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, what they've actually appointed here is someone who might give answers one way or another. But that's if you believe that the government is ever going to give a straight answer.
Even just that idea is so stupid to me. Like, that's the thing. That's like, I get it why everybody's excited that they might be taking a more legitimate look at UFOs.
Which I am, understand.
But also, again, that just allows them to bring it closer in. Allows them to just be like, oh, hey, yeah, definitely UAP, and they don't want to maybe talk about the fact that we might be losing to China in the drone war, like the drone arms
might
race.
No, we're getting smoked, but the thing is, we got to start taxing these fucking UFOs. No. They're coming into our airspace.
They're coming in, policymaker.
Okay, well, let me add another layer to it. The defense bill requires the new office to work with the intelligence community to identify anything related to possible UFO sightings.
If you want
to
hear a conundrum, use it. What's the words? Military intelligence.
That's an oxymoron.
You call me what?
Well, they do have them the smartest minds in the world.
Yes, I know.
Let's add one more layer here. Let's make this a 3-layer cake. Let's make this a fucking dulce leche.
Oh, yes. I was hoping you were going to say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kirkpatrick may or may not be perfect for this job because he worked with the CIA in the past, which may or may not be a good thing. Hard to tell.
Well, the thing is again,
hard to tell.
It is very hard to tell because, again, if you have worked for the CIA, you don't retire.
Well, he's worked with the CIA.
What does that even mean? Is he a caterer?
I mean, it must be so horrible being a waiter for like one of these events at the CIA. Be like, do you want the mashed potatoes? I may or may not want the mashed potatoes.
Do you want me just put the mashed potatoes? Have you heard about the issues with the fast food court at the CIA?
No.
There is issues. I was reading a little into this.
Yeah, issues?
Well, it's a food court at the CIA. Uh-huh. So at this place where you go eat lunch, there are varying degrees of top secret clearances all at lunch that you have to figure out how to navigate. And that it's actually extremely difficult. Like, let's say you pop out for a smoke.
So you don't get the spaghetti if you're like not top secret?
It's more complicated than that. I want to unpack it for one of our episodes, but it's just this basically there is a way for people to have to sit. There's like fights and shit because there are people that are having conversations in there that other people are not allowed to hear. There's also stuff like, let's say you work at the fucking, because I want to say they have like a Burger King, like, and they literally, sure, there's like a McDonald's on the side of the CIA. Like, you're just a guy, you have clearance. You make hamburgers at the McDonald's inside of the food court of the CIA buildings. Mm-hmm. And so you walk outside for a smoke, like, truly, you can't get back into the building. Like, it's all these like weird human things.
But you can't go 8 hours without a cigarette?
Well, yeah.
That's a really the big problem.
I used to have a, I couldn't go 8 hours.
I know, but you're still, you're half nicotine now.
Well, he's deeply addicted. But yeah. It is just
I'm
more
on
the,
step three of the patch, though.
It's just those fun little, the humanity of it, of like it trying to deal with all these layers of top secret bullshit. And it's, again, you're just trying to get your fucking breakfast burrito.
It's, yeah, it sounds like just like super smart prison.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, additionally, the office is mandated to create a process for people to share information regardless of classification without stigma. But perhaps most importantly, it mandates that Otto be fully staffed.
Whoa.
Although the government definition of fully staffed might differ from the private sector. However, considering how disgustingly massive this defense bill is, some work might actually get done here. Hmm. But that's if Otto figures out the game as to how the people who actually benefit from this massive defense bill get their share.
I think in the government, fully staffed means like when Matt Gaetz adopted that full-grown man to have sex with. He was fully staffed at that point.
Fully staffed, yeah. Now, since this new department is based in the DOD, Otto is focused on objects seen in and or near military bases, training areas, special use airspace, and other areas of interest.
Man, quote, this
unquote,
is gonna
areas
get,
of interest.
He's going to get real annoying real fast. You let these ufologists run around these fucking airplanes and shit, man. It is going to be hard.
Well, mm-hmm. We're in a new glory day for military and creativity.
Yeah.
So I wonder what they're going to be seeing then. Because there's a bunch of new stuff that we have that is just like tangible.
Well, that's the thing.
Man-made.
This is these are historians. They're looking at historical accounts. They're not going out. They're not going out to the Air Force base and seeing what's on the tarmac now. They're pulling through old reports going back to 1945. And that's where we're going to arrive right now.
Whoa.
Cool.
See, the reason why 1945 is so important.
Because of the goddamn war.
Yeah, kind of.
It's coming to an end.
The goddamn war.
Yeah, it's coming to an end. We're quickly going to go into another one.
Yeah. Well, it's because the study commissioned the defense bill is not starting with the 1947 Roswell crash, which is often seen as the first major on the ground incident in United States history.
Yeah, that and the Kenneth Arnold, his sighting where he said he saw those where the term saucers came from.
But that's not on the ground.
No.
That's up in the air. I'm talking about crashes here.
Okay.
Rather, it's assumed that the study is starting with the far lesser known Trinity incident, in which a UFO allegedly crashed near the White Sands missile range in New Mexico just after the detonation of the world's first functional nuclear weapon.
The problem was Bing Bong had a little too much to drink. Bing Bong was a little hungover. Dare I say it's actually more dangerous to drive hungover than drunk.
I need you to say the B word and honestly quit it with the hard G.
Bing Bong.
Quit it with the hard G, okay?
I'm a Bing Bong. I can say Bing Bong.
But there's a couple of flags here that show why this story is specifically very interesting.
Yeah.
It's because it literally, the crash happened on essentially a missile testing site. Like it happened
near a missile testing site,
and it caused full on physical damage to things that were like, and people saw it. They went and they saw it, and say what you will about the crash, but there's something to it because it was weeks after the first ever atomic test.
And those were still just really our baby nukes.
Yeah.
Those were just like infants and they were swaddled.
Yeah,
and
they didn't get to grow up.
They weren't MIRVed yet. They weren't adults.
Yeah. Now, this is interesting because UFO researchers are well aware that UFOs have been drawn to nuclear testing sites, weapon storage, and power plants from almost the moment humanity harnessed the atom. Mm. From the Indian Point nuclear power plant in New York State, that's the Hudson Valley sightings, to the nuclear storage facilities in England, the Rendlesham Forest incident.
Now, this is really in the realm of nuts and bolts UFOs.
Yeah,
so this
very
is,
much so.
This is giving some credence. I really do. This story specifically gives some credence to this idea some of the phenomena is connected to this, our nuclear programs, and they're obsessed with it.
And like, this is like the MUFON base.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? This
yes.
is like all nuts and bolts, nothing woo-woo.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's also not to mention the encounters that may have occurred in, say, China. We almost nothing about UFO encounters in China.
It must have happened, right?
They had to have, of course. They're everywhere. Yeah, and I'll also admit that I'm not quite familiar what occurs in other nuclear states. Like, I don't know what happens in India or Pakistan. Right. I don't know what happens in France.
Well, I actually know that I believe, well, France, I know for a fact, is very upfront about their UFO research shit, because that's where Jacques Vallée works out of. He works for the official French space navigation, which I just think they're just sending bread to Mars. I don't know what they're doing over there. Because I feel, but Jacques Vallée works for them, and they openly research UFOs in the French government.
I think the French are probably the best at it, because the one thing they love to do is relax, and they take it seriously. They tried to raise their retirement age to 64 instead of 62, and it was like 2020 Minneapolis.
Oh yeah, man.
It was like, people were like, absolutely not.
I
love the French.
Oh yeah, man.
Refused a walk away cappuccino.
No, they just don't do it.
You're supposed to sit in train. I was like, I multitask. My life is a grind life. You don't tell me to relax. I'm here. We saved your ass in World War II. It starts in that. You get into that whole world. Yeah,
and then they punch you in the fucking face because the French are tough as shit.
Yeah, they punch you in the throat.
Yeah. No people on earth love rioting and protesting more than the French do. I have immense respect for them.
Yeah, they hold their government accountable. Yeah.
62, they just get to retire.
They just get to walk away. Yep. Great to the buttermills.
Wow.
What we do know is that witnesses in high-level positions in America and Russia have said that UFOs were able to control nuclear sites remotely, arming nuclear missiles or futzing with power plant operations, seemingly just because they can. There's no, no one's been able to figure out the logic behind them coming in, flying over one of those sites in North Dakota, arming a nuclear missile, and then leaving.
Jacques Vallée calls it a control system, which is a thing I'm still trying to understand. He says it comes from computer sciences, but this is this idea of, like, when you watch years-long set of phenomena, right, you can eventually begin to sort of chart it. And he talks about how UFOs work in waves, like we talk about flaps. And he said the reason why it does that is because it's trying to, if it is psychically generated, which he believes it half is, that it's about us all trying to learn a lesson that we're not getting. Mm-hmm. And with the nuclear, that's where that's the only one. They're like, you see, that makes sense.
Yeah.
As it has to be also like a random test group too. But it's, I don't know. Like Jacques Vallée, sometimes I understand, like, I'm a valet head. I'm a valet girl.
You're a valet girl.
You know what I mean? Like, hang out. So I understand some people are not into it, but it's interesting.
I just don't know if we're ready, man. I was flipping through the channels and Ben Carson was on Fox News. So I was listening because I just got to like hear what that moron has to say. He calls it Q theory. He says many people that subscribe to Q theory will say this.
No, we're not ready.
I think we were more ready like 20 years ago.
Very much so.
I think they're gonna. We're real lucky if they're not full on nuts and bolts UFOs. We're real lucky.
Yeah.
If it's a psychic phenomenon.
I would argue we were more ready 30 years ago.
Yeah, well, they should have just come then. They should have been there then.
Yeah, because they could have gotten a Bop It.
Yeah.
Oh, Bop It.
That would have saved us.
Twist it.
Yeah.
Pull it. That's my mother.
But when it comes to the Trinity crash, it seems like a UFO was simply investigating the site where the first nuclear detonation had occurred just 1 month prior, and this craft accidentally crashed in the deserts of New Mexico.
Mm.
Now, today's source is the new Jacques Vallée book, Trinity, the Best Kept Secret.
Not anymore!
Trinity, the best kept secret.
Perfect. Cool. Honestly, his accent is very thick.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to understand him without subtitles.
I fall asleep. He makes me fall asleep.
Yeah. Good. That's what people say about our show.
Yeah.
The book's a bit of a mess because it required a lot of padding to make this story into a book, because it's not a long story.
No.
But it still gives valuable new information on a crash that I've only heard mentioned in passing for years. And that's mostly just because the UFO is kind of shaped weird.
Yeah, it's a funny shape, which they thought was really fun. And also the struggle to hear Jacques Vallée say avocado over and over again. It is maddening.
So as far as where this crash occurred.
El Bacalio.
Okay.
Oh. Was it El Bacalio?
El Bacalio?
Oh, sounds tasty.
Now, as far as where this crash occurred, it was 18 miles north of the Trinity site outside the small town of San Antonio, New Mexico, at a ranch worked by a man named Faustino Padilla.
Ooh.
Faustino had a son named Jose, age 9 at the time, and Jose had a friend named Remy Baca. And it was Jose and Remy who were the main witnesses here. And they're 7 and 9 years old. But there were also certainly adults who witnessed the craft on the ground before the military took it away.
Okay.
Now, the Padilla family were among the many Americans who were adversely affected by the detonation of the first functioning nuclear weapon.
We just did it out loud, man. We just did it on top of where a bunch of people were living.
Yeah, right in the middle of New Mexico.
Right.
That was the Trinity test.
Yeah.
Jose Padilla's mother, Inez, for example, she was looking out the window when the blast occurred, just looking out the window. They didn't tell anybody that they were doing this. The flash blinded her in one eye.
They give you a month heads up. If they're going to start filming something in your neighborhood.
Yeah. If they're going to change the parking, they put up a sign like 3 weeks ahead of time.
By the way, just so you know, we're going to be filming girls here.
Yeah.
And they didn't mention this to anyone that was living. Be like, if you're going to think about going on vacation this weekend, great weekend to do it.
It does seem as if, number one, they didn't care.
No.
And they didn't know, maybe. That's what we'll talk a little bit when we eventually do our Manhattan Project series. But they lied about not knowing.
Yeah.
About what the radiation would do.
Yeah, dude.
And they didn't want to tell anybody that they were doing it because it was really, really secret. Except it was a really big explosion. So it's very difficult to hide. It's not like a thing. It's like a thing you think you'd do, like, underground. Or like something you do, like, which we eventually did. We put it out in the oceans and irradiated the oceans. And we made everybody's favorite, SpongeBob.
SpongeBob. I thought you were going to say the bloop.
I thought you were going to say Godzilla.
Cool. No, SpongeBob, technically, that's the kind of what they're saying is that's the underlying kind of subconscious storyline of SpongeBob is they were all created by nuclear waste.
Oh, interesting.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, Remy Baca remembered that after the Trinity test, a dust that had the consistency of snow or flour covered the desert.
Not good.
Later, it was discovered that this material was highly radioactive.
Yes.
Fallout, right?
Yeah, and isotopes were found in cow milk, game, chickens, eggs. It was in everything.
Don't worry, the government cares.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I think that they could, like, just deduce that nothing good was going to happen.
Well,
now, even if they didn't know anything, I don't know what bad is going to happen, but we know nothing good.
You know how they tell? They literally go and they look at that windsock. That is the complete truth. They're like, let's see where that windsock's going. All right. It's kind of going that way. It's fine. It'll kind of go over that river over there. It'll go over. That's fine. Rivers move so fast.
Yeah.
Right? Rivers move so fast. It'll eat it up.
Well, we're going to discover this later on. We're going to look into this later on because we've got a big series in the making right now. But I don't know if they knew about radioactive winds.
I don't know.
I don't know if they knew that, like, when you explode an atomic bomb.
They had to figure something bad was going to happen.
I think that the most you can say that is good is willful ignorance. I think the most you can say that they just went like, we'll figure it out. Well, we'll figure that out. You know, just
yeah,
like,
it's
you know,
like they didn't know, like all the people fucking, you know, getting really sick in the plutonium mines in Washington State or the plutonium factories. They might have just, and they knew they knew that radium was poisonous for decades before.
It turned
that.
The entire town of Springfield yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
Simpsons.
Like, funny.
Hey, that's right.
Ooh, wow.
Springfield, yeah.
Yes.
But they knew, like, there was actually, they used to sell, like, radium water way back in the early 1900s because they thought that radium was good for you.
And look cool.
Until all those ladies that were painting little radium numbers on watches so World War I soldiers could see what time it was in the trenches, their faces started literally falling off.
That good.
All I know is I need to have a small rock star energy drink break. Now, this is full of 14% radium.
Yeah. Ooh, that's why you have a healthy glow about you.
Yes.
There's this incredible story of one of the radium ladies, one of the girls who painted, like, she was licking the tip after every single number that she put on. They didn't, because it tastes, because they're like, oh, it's like calcium. But yeah, like radium actually goes into your, it does act like calcium, except it goes into your bones and it lives there. It never leaves. So this woman, like, she had this huge tumor on her face. She's fucking gone. And the doctor went to examine her jaw and it fucking just came off in his
That's
hand.
That's not good, just went, dude. I'm just going to say no job's worth it.
No,
right?
No.
Except for being a TV personality.
Yeah.
That is worth it.
And then after all of these ladies died, of course, the company that ran, that made the radium watches came out and said, you know what? We tried doing a good thing by employing all of these handicapped women. And it turns out they just put their goodwill back on us.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
They seriously, their fucking excuse was they was already like that.
Yeah,
like,
it's, like, oh, yeah, they were already jacked up. You mean, yeah, it's, yeah. We hired a bunch of fucked up shit people, right? Right. And so now they're all going to be hours all mad about it. Yeah. And it's just like, well, the women would tell you about that. Sorry, bro. I'm French.
He went to Jared's.
The thing is that no civilians in the area, when they did the Trinity test, no civilians in the area were told about any of this. They knew that it happened.
Oh my
After
God.
It happened, the only people who got compensation were the so-called atomic veterans.
Yep.
They were Marines who were placed in trenches only 2 miles away from the blast. Those men eventually developed one or more of 21 different cancers, making it the Camp Lejeune of its day.
You know what I really prefer is I love cookies and cream cancer. That's my favorite. I like a cookies and cream. I like a praline and hazelnut.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Very fancy.
Yeah. Live from your grave.
But as far as the UFO crash went, it occurred on August 16th, 1945, exactly 1 month after the Trinity test and exactly a week after the second atomic bomb was dropped on Japan.
Because now we have extras and we got to blow them off.
Yeah. Yeah. No, dude, from Trinity to Hiroshima is like 2 weeks.
Why didn't they just go to Japan and see what happened? Because isn't that...
We weren't allowed.
I feel you mean the aliens?
No, us. Like, why didn't the U.S. government... drop, obviously, after we drop the bombs, why didn't they just go see what happens after you drop a bomb? Why continue to do the test on civilians in New Mexico?
Oh, they didn't. Well, I mean, well, they actually did more tests in Monument Valley after that. But that was just to get bigger and bigger bombs.
That's make them big bombs and show everybody we're working on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's what we were talking about before the show. It's like Monument Valley, a lot of the people who worked on those old John Ford Westerns, they all got cancer because there was still so much radioactive dust in Monument Valley after the test.
Still safer than working with an actor that shot somebody.
Hey,
remember that guy?
He directly murders you.
Well, on the day of the crash, Jose and Remy were riding horses to check on a cow that was about to calf. They tracked the cow to a rocky area, hitched their horses, and continued on foot. And after finding the cow, they were having a nice little lunch of tortillas and apples when a thunderstorm blew in.
Mm.
Along with the thunder, though, they heard a loud bang that sounded entirely different from a thunderclap.
And these guys are lived next to a missile test range, so they've heard a lot of different bangs. They really do think on some level they know a different bang because they just watched the world's biggest bang and it coated all of them with powdery death.
Yeah,
I do want to know what the realtor was like. So anyway, it's a really good deal. It's super cheap, right? Well, why? Just don't even worry about
it. Shut your fucking mouth.
Don't even worry about it.
But curious, the boys investigated the area where the sound originated, and they found a long, sizable, foot-deep gouge in the ground that was warm to the touch. Plants nearby were burning, smoke filled the air, and when the boys followed the gouge, they found a large, solid object. Obviously, whatever had crashed there. By Remy's recollection, the bang was similar to what he heard during the nuclear test a month prior. But with details like that, it's important to note that we're dealing with the memories of a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old who were told 60 years later.
And they were also next to an atomic bomb release. I feel like that there has to be, that has to shadow most of the things that you will do for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, also, if you live next to like an airport, you don't know if it's a 747 or if it's a new one of those bus planes or whatever. I mean, I don't know. They hear bangs all day. I couldn't really differentiate.
But unless you look and hear for bangs and look and hear for planes, because some people sit in there all day and they just go, look, hey, 747. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that. Oh, it's a 797.
My friend, you just got hired at the uranium factory. No, thank you so much.
Yeah. I go right in there. Look at that. I'm telling glowing in there. I'm telling it's cute.
Thank you.
But nevertheless, just because weird shit is seen in her by a child, that doesn't automatically mean that the weird shit didn't happen. Just like you'd listen to the words of a child who happened to be present at the scene of a crime. Now, Remy and Jose were smart enough to not approach the craft, but luckily they had a pair of binoculars.
Ooh, fun kids.
Super fun kids. Oh, yeah, man, you're out there in the desert.
This is the best adventure in the world.
It's awesome. I'm jealous.
Yeah, they're a 7 and 9-year-old with a couple of horses and binoculars, and then a UFO crashes.
That's awesome.
They also just let a 7 and 9-year-old just out there with a bunch of horses.
Oh, yeah,
I wasn't allowed outside of my yard.
Because you grew up in Queens, and your father was a cop surrounded by mafioso.
Yeah.
It'd be like if I could drive a car at 9, right?
I could drive a car at 9.
But I mean, allowed to.
I could drive a car at 11.
But isn't a horse harder than a car?
Much, much harder.
That's what I'm saying.
I think your mom just had made you have so much spaghetti so it would weigh you down so you wouldn't get kidnapped.
I think, yeah, she was just excited to make me half dough. I was her experiment.
Henry Noki Zabrowski.
My body is different now and it makes me sad.
You look good.
No, you do. We had like a 20-minute long conversation before the show. You look great.
You look good.
I'm melting.
You're not melting.
I got four bellies.
Who cares?
Okay, it's fine.
More bellies.
It's fine.
So do fucking ants. And look at them. They have whole movies made of them.
Whoa, ants.
Ants.
Oh, with my favorite comedian, Woody Allen. God, I miss him. Where's he been?
He needs to. He's glowing.
Tim and Alec are on vacation right now. Yes. And yeah, they were talking about how you say molested. Mm-hmm. You make a molested Woody Allen.
I'm sure they have a fun time together.
Looking through the lenses, the boys could see that the object was shaped like an avocado.
Avocado.
And which was an appropriate cultural reference for the boys.
Absolutely.
But the object also had a hole on the side. The craft was also emitting a high-pitched sound, which Remy compared to that of a dying rabbit. Known far and wide to be one of the worst sounds on Earth.
What does a dying rabbit sound like?
A lot like that. Yeah, I've done it on the show before. People know. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
But what was even stranger is that the boys claimed to have seen little creatures climbing out of the ship's hole. From Remy's memory, the 4-foot-tall creatures looked sort of like praying mantises. They had big, bulgy eyes, gray skin, and needle-thin arms. Jose, however, described it slightly different, although he also described them as insectoid in appearance.
Little fucking Eddie Redmayne's.
Interesting.
Fucking little pieces of shit.
Don't shoehorn your hate for Eddie Redmayne into this.
Jose said that the aliens had pear-shaped heads that were, in his words, too big.
Cool.
They looked like fire ants standing up. That's what he said. So got fire ants on one side, praying mantises on the other.
And gotcha. I see like I little see that. Baby grays I see all the time being described as insect-like in their behavior.
Yeah, they were again gray. Of course, they both described them as gray. But their eyes were sideways teardrops. They weren't bulging. The two boys saw that differently. Jose also said that their mouths were baby mouths.
Ooh.
That's how he described it. The noses were two tiny holes. They had tiny ears and no hair. Pretty standard gray.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you could also, I mean, you say like, wow, he saw that in 1945. But in reality, he told this story in the 2000s, which meant that he would have seen alien grays since then. It was
since
ubiquitous
then.
In the 90s. Everybody saw like just the alien gray head in the 90s.
But will say we have like they were forced to keep this quiet. They didn't want to talk about this for a long time.
Yeah,
they didn't want to come up with the story. But there's something to the idea of that if you saw an alien, if you did see one, and then you saw one later, you'd be like, that's a guy.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a formative experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like if this is real and you saw a crashed object, you saw it, be like, I feel like this would be one of those memories that would stick with you.
Yeah.
Right. It would be like if you saw something as a child and then all of a sudden that alien was going to become a Supreme Court justice. And you'd be like, now I remember.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That would be incredible.
Yeah. Ooh, aliens on the Supreme Court. Why not?
They already are on the Supreme Court.
It would be so much better.
But what's most interesting about Jose and Remy's experience is that it shares a fair amount with the aerial school incident that occurred decades later and an ocean away in South Africa during the 90s. Like the kids at aerial school, which we covered last fall, I believe.
Yes.
Jose and Remy had slightly different perceptions of the creatures. They observed that the creatures glided instead of walked.
Like they're not real.
Mm-hmm. And they also claimed that the creatures transferred a feeling of pure sorrow. The kids at aerial school also said that emotions were transferred, like they were radiating them.
Well, because they just crashed a really expensive plane, perhaps.
Honestly, yeah, and they're worried about insurance.
So they're just like, oh, shit.
Oh, my premium is going up. I bing bong this.
This is why they call us bing bong, bing bong.
And this is all pretty close to what the kids at aerial school in South Africa described 50 years later. Now, one may say that these images were optical illusions. You might even say that the feelings are some sort of weird, misremembered, and misplaced trauma. Remember, these kids had seen the world's first nuclear explosion a month prior.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But from what the two men said many years later, when they were finally interviewed about their experience, they said that they watched the creatures for hours until it got dark. Then they went home, sat there with their binoculars, watched these creatures walk around doing weird alien shit.
just literally screaming at each other.
Yeah, go
Loretta,
like,
I told you not to drive,
this
Loretta.
This is what happens when you distract me.
God dang it.
Furthermore, the boys returned to the crash site a couple of days later to find that the avocado-shaped craft was still there, undiscovered by government agencies. This wasn't just like a fleeting experience. They measured the craft by stepping it, and they determined that it was between 25 and 30 feet long, wow, about 14 feet high. It's similar to what we estimate some UFOs in those new videos taken by the Navy and the Air Force. That's about the size we estimate them to be.
It wow. is interesting.
Some of them, at least.
Because yeah. Raytheon has now come forward. They're the guys that develop the cameras for our battleships and shit. And basically, they're designed to look at jets, and they're designed to look for enemy military technology. But they're trying to come out and say, like, listen, when you sent us these, what you needed for these cameras, we didn't develop them to look at UFOs. So there's actually limited data that you can extract from these videos that is actually credible. Now Raytheon is apparently starting to get instructions as to, like, wow, what to look for, like how wow. to build a camera that can see a UFO.
You'll be able to do it then.
Mm-hmm. Now, after the boys returned to the site, they decided to tell Remy's father, Faustino, about what they'd found. So Faustino and his buddy Eddie, a local police officer, they took a ride out to the site and brought the kids along.
So cool.
This is a great day.
Yeah, this is like a couple, this is like 2 days, like this is a great weekend.
This is awesome.
Yeah. Well, while they were driving out, of course, Faustino and Eddie, they're like, we don't see it. And the kids are like, oh, I swear it's out there. It's right over there. And they found that the closer they got to it, the more visible it became.
Yeah, he was like fucking on cloak mode.
Yeah. Now, once they arrived at the site, Faustino and Eddie told the boys to stay in the car. And allegedly, the adults got out and went inside the craft.
Whoa!
They were only gone for 10 minutes. But when they returned, Jose and Remy said that they were almost like different people. And they told the kids to never tell anyone what they'd seen there, ever.
They said what was weird is that you walked into this avocado-shaped craft, but somehow it had a flat ground, and it had all of these things along the walls. So we were talking about a little bit before the show. It is interesting, the dreamlike quality, a lot of the, even just the tech, the way they describe it in these scenarios.
And this is what Faustino and Eddie described to the kids.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's something about, like, because the way the aliens glide, quote unquote aliens glide, the way that it sits there, because it's kind of almost cartoony in a way. It's egg-shaped. They say avocado, but it's basically shaped like an egg. And it has like a kind of a cartoony hole in it because it hit a radar pole, which it caused damage to, which is also completely real. But it's weird. You go in and it's like a half-done craft. Mm. It's all kind of half between our world and something else. It's something that there's components, quote unquote, missing. What would be in a thing that would make a thing move, that would like had no steering wheels, no dashboards, no plate, no cockpit. It's very interesting. I love that type of shit. Yeah. There's something about their connection. If it is indeed real, the nuts and bolts aspect is indeed real. These creatures just kind of live in a thing that might also be kind of half alive.
Also, Henry, when all of this is said and done and you fully become a ufologist and everything falls apart and your wife leaves you and you're dead broke and Marcus and I won't help you because we're busy.
You're already gone. I'm toxic.
You can headline at Cockpit. And it's a fantastic new club in Florida.
It's inside of a Delta flight. Yes. And you can do it while you travel.
Yeah. Unbeknownst to the other flyers.
Hey, you doing? What are you? You shitting?
Yeah.
Let me see there. Oh, it's brown, huh?
Love bathroom crowd work.
Well, upon returning to town, Eddie presumably reported the crash to the authorities. Somebody had to. And seeing as how this was literally just a month after World War II ended. Literally a month.
Wow.
You know, people were still pretty fucking jumpy.
They didn't get over it in 30 days?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, they were just...
Do you remember when we'll cover the story about the weird fascist dude trying to overthrow FDR and all this type of shit.
Yeah.
We had weird shit on American soil that was happening.
Yeah, I mean, people very much thought that there was, like, you know, enemy craft, enemy ships, any kind of, like, enemy weaponry. Because Pearl Harbor, you know, I mean, shit, there were Japanese ships off of the coast of California.
Right.
Like, I mean, there were German ships in the Atlantic Ocean. You know, people are jumpy as fuck.
Still rawr.
Mm-hmm. But before the craft was taken away, Jose and Remy returned for souvenirs, as children are wont to do.
Of course.
Of course. Maybe they had a little shop in there.
Yeah.
Oh, sundries.
Nice.
Well, one piece they picked up and kept was a piece of aluminum that would return to its original position after they folded it, a sort of memory metal.
Sound familiar?
Very familiar. Very common. That piece was used to repair a windmill and was lost. But that was far from the only thing the boys took.
Yeah, they just took the stuff out of it. And again, memory metal is what we saw during the Roswell crash, which was faked using the
fake
fucking weather balloon
that they put
into the photo op.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jose and Remy also claim to have recovered a large amount of fibrous string. I love saying fibrous string.
That's very fun.
Yeah, they described it as spider webby, or kind of like angel hair pasta.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, and Jacques Vallée speculates that this may have been fiber optic cable.
But then he was also incorrect, because fiber optic cable is something that light travels through and it only goes through one end to the other. But this shit glowed in the dark.
Yeah, because that's the thing, is that it glowed in the dark. You know what they did with it?
What?
They used it as Christmas decorations.
Yeah, they put it on their trees.
For like that's decades, perfect. They would, but it would go in a box and come out December 1st and then go back in, and they used it for a few decades and then threw it out.
I mean, that's all that we're going to do with this stuff. We're just going to use it for mundane everyday activity.
5G. Yeah.
You can't just, what do you mean?
Guh, 5G.
What do you mean by that? You're just looking at me. You're just giving me the side eye. You just said 5G and gave me a side eye. What am I supposed to infer from that?
Nanotechnology.
All right.
Well, that's the thing, is that they didn't throw out or repurpose everything. Jose also recovered what he thought was a spinning metal bracket from the UFO site, and he kept it.
Okay. Yeah.
He just took it out of thing. He called it his treasure.
Mm-hmm.
It is treasure.
Comparable to nothing I've ever seen, because there are pictures of this thing. The bracket is 12 inches long, weighs about a pound, and has holes for fasteners.
It's super wheeled.
Yeah, okay. It's gooey wheeled.
Because don't connect to nothing. Don't do nothing.
Yeah, don't do nothing. And, you know, 12 inches long, only a pound, you know, that's pretty intense, man.
Yeah.
And when Jacques Vallée analyzed it, he found that it was made of aluminum.
Okay.
It's like most material found at UFO crash sites are made of aluminum, which isn't all that weird, because most of our planes are made of aluminum.
Well, Jacques Vallée talks a little bit about, because, you know, Art's was the famed pieces of UFOs that Art Bell supposedly had on him, that he supposedly was given to the Stars Academy, that Tom DeLonge's hard at work at right now. He's figuring out what right now. But we now call these metamaterials, and Jacques Vallée has some of these metamaterials from basically a UFO exploded above a beach in Brazil, and all of these chunks of shiny metal came down, and he got one, and it's pure magnesium. Mm-hmm. But he said what's weird is that it's not that it's all earthbound metal. It's all stuff that can be found here, but it's the way that they put it together. It's sort of like, sadly, it's the Bill Murray no human would ever stack books like this. But it's true. It's like they are too pure. Like, you'd have to like go and get it made at a lab for it to be as pure as it is. It just, again, it's just weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the metals of another universe might be similar to ours, right?
Who knows?
Have we found any hyper unique metals on Mars yet?
There's unobtainium that's technically real and not real. That's what Bob Lazar talks about. There's like an element like 151. I think that just might be a rum bar. There's another, it's like element 151. It's one of these numbers. It's like, again, it lasts for a second in a lab and then it goes away.
Yeah. I think there might be unknown elements out there, but I don't know if there's, but you know, meteors fall to the, the earth all the time. And I don't know if they've ever found an unknown element in a meteor. You know, like there's some meteors out there, like there's a meteor out there that's made of solid gold. You know, it's crazy.
We got to get it. We're talking about the ultimate heist.
Yeah.
The ultimate heist. But then everyone is like, then we'd all be rich. And I'm like, no, they just change it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
all of a sudden, piss is currency. Yeah.
But inevitably, 3 days after the crash, a military man showed up and actually asked permission to install a gate in the fence around the Padilla Ranch so the military could recover an experimental weather balloon.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I can tell the weather by looking outside. I know it actually. I do know that they do need a lot of weather balloons because it is a missile weather testing site, and they need to check out like the immediate weather while they're doing it. But still, whatever.
Well, they have that excuse. It shows you they have that excuse in their back pocket when Roswell occurs 2 years later.
You see, we love the weather.
Mm-hmm. And so
that's not the major problems that they're interested in.
Yeah, we talk about the weather all the time.
No, that's kind of it is interesting weather patterns.
Yeah. Now they are very in meteorology.
Meteorology, mm-hmm. Yes.
And so
most meteorology is fucking made up.
It's really not. They really work hard at it.
After the site was cleaned up by a couple of young recruits, they just sent a couple of dudes out there to fucking sweep up, and the craft was taken away to parts unknown. probably to White Sands Missile Range.
That's the thing. And there it becomes an atomic secret versus a regular secret. And that means it goes away.
Mm-hmm. I also think that's the smart way to do it. They're new recruits. They don't think that they would even be given a job with full responsibility. Mm-hmm. They also don't know enough to give a fuck.
Yeah, yeah. They just
that's the way to do it.
Blow their brains out somewhere in a parking lot.
We don't know if that happened. It's not American History X.
Yeah. We'll see.
Well, Remy and Jose took Faustino Padilla's advice and they didn't speak of the UFO again. Even after the Roswell crash, even after that happened 2 years later and only 150 miles away, they didn't talk about it to anybody else. They didn't talk to each other about it. They remembered it, but they were just fucking mum's the word.
They understood that this was dicey.
Mm-hmm. And by the mid-1950s, both boys had moved away from San Antonio, New Mexico, and they didn't reconnect until 2002.
Oh.
And then when they reconnected, it was like through like Ancestry.com or something like that. They finally revisited what they'd seen as children. It's like, do you remember that?
You like, remember how we saw a fucking UFO?
Cool. So they were in their 70s then.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And somehow an ufologist named Paolo Harris heard of the story and conducted extensive interviews in 2010. And Jacques Vallée joined in to help write the book in 2020. And had it not been for the efforts of these two men, this incident would have been lost, which I think begs the question we always have, namely, how many of these incidents have occurred over the decades in which the witnesses told no one? Hell, there might be a fucking UFO in an abandoned barn in Nevada or fucking Utah or New Mexico or something just waiting to be found.
And I feel like
that's a J.J. Abrams movie.
We're just getting further and further away from understanding the past as well. I mean, you have DeSantis who doesn't want to teach African-American history, a.k.a. history. That's on the chopping block. I don't know when we're going to get to UFO history.
Yeah, that's George Orwell,
not even
man.
Human history.
He who controls the present controls the past. He who controls the past controls the future. Yeah, bro. Getting fucking mind blown here, dude. I also think that there is a reason why they are starting to put money into these programs. Mm. I really do think they must have something. Yeah. That is my most truly, I know it may be funny to say, my most fringe belief is that they have an object, that they have something, that one of these stories is real and they got something in a hanger.
That's not your most fringe belief.
What do you think is my most fringe belief?
We cannot say that. I know what it is. Yeah. You probably don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
Am I a mystery to myself?
Now, according to Vallée, government teams returned to the Padilla Ranch crash site in 1953 to scrub the site clean. Finally, they get someone competent on there.
All right.
Oddly, though, in 2017, in something that sounds like a plot detail in The Invisibles, Vallée claims that someone planted poisonous vegetation on the spot where the craft came to a stop. Particularly, they planted cockleburrs and deadly nightshade, which almost sounds like someone is mixing science and the occult, or perhaps someone just believes that there's some sort of connection between UFOs and something a little more witchy. Okay.
Well, they don't want you digging there. Mm-hmm. And they don't want cattle going in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they made it poisonous?
I guess that would work.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess that would be good.
Well, lest ye forget, the U.S. military has in the past employed occultists.
Oh, yeah, man. The fucking Washington D.C.'s a pentagram, dog. Mm-hmm.
Temple of Set founder Michael Aquino is the biggest example, of course. Although I cannot stress enough that my mention of occultists in the government here is not in any way an endorsement or a reference to QAnon. It is merely fact.
Theory.
There's also a flip here because one day we will do our occultists and the intelligence community stories because there is like, then some talk about altogether all of those scenes, mm-hmm. like data aggregator, like groups for the CIA and the NSA. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But to further argue the point, that these were planted intentionally, this nightshade, these cockle burrs. They were new to Vallée in 2017, whereas before when he'd gone out to the site, there was nothing there. And he only found them within a 30-foot radius of the crash site and nowhere else nearby.
Okay.
Now, Trinity is by no means the only site of a UFO crash, nor did UFO crashes end with Roswell. Plenty of crashes have been witnessed since, and even as far back as 1897, a UFO allegedly flew over the town of Aurora, Texas, hit a large piece of equipment, and exploded into a shower of aluminum and silver debris.
Is that now the one? Because I know Lubbock also had a...
The Lubbock Lights.
Yeah, Lubbock
that
Lights.
Was in the 50s.
Yeah, but that was just more of a sighting.
It was a sighting. Yeah, it was a mass sighting. But yeah, that was one of J. Allen Hynek's early discoveries, I believe.
Cool.
Or not discoveries, but studies.
Yeah.
But in the post-nuclear world, the crashes, or at least reports of crashes, increased significantly. At each site, metallic fragments were found, and most commonly, those fragments were discovered to be made of aluminum or magnesium.
But it's also the evidence, the physical evidence is so weird because it's dreamy quality as well. Like they talk about like the indentations in the ground of these UFOs and when they land and that they are obviously extremely heavy, but then they can lift up without making a noise. Again, if you believe witnesses. And then the concept of like when they do leave stuff behind, it's not like a plane crash because plane crashes, like you remember when they did the rebuild when there was a big TWA flight that crashed
800.
And they like there was that whole like it was a warehouse like filled with stuff.
You're talking about the one that was shot down.
Yes. Yes. Now we know that for a fact,
Long
right?
Long Island, right?
And so
not for a fact, but we know it. We know
we
it.
We know it.
Yeah, but it's not a fact. Yeah.
That was trippy. That was real life Men in Black stuff.
Oh, yeah. It is. But it is weird to think that, like, that thing can crash and then just like, so you have, it's like the paltry evidence. It's such a small amount of evidence. Yeah. And then it goes into these dubious areas.
Mm-hmm. And so while the Trinity UFO incident may not be the most well-known crash, 1945 may eventually come to be known as the point in which UFOs became truly interested in the human species.
And then it was Jody Arias.
That butthole brings a lot of aliens to the yard.
However, it could also be that the study starts in 1945 because it's a nice round number.
Ooh.
And it has nothing to do with the Trinity crash.
It's nice.
It's an odd number.
No, it's, yeah, because it's 1, 9, it, it's 10, no, it's 1, a, 9,
I didn't say
nine,
even
four,
number,
five,
it's a
so,
round
but aren't,
number.
Aren't
it's like
round,
1 plus
round
9 is 10.
Be,
fives and zeros are the roundest numbers.
Technically, it's a really good number because 1 plus 9 is 10, 4 plus 5 is 9, 19, right? So it's 10 plus 9 is 19, 1 plus 9, that's 10, that's actually 1. It's a really good numerical number.
I thought if it
number.
Was even, it would be round.
No. Round numbers are physically round numbers that appear to be round because, you know, zero's got the big, it's round. It's
you sell more. You sell more if you if you make something $9.95 versus $10.
Yeah.
It's $9.99.
No, $9.95 is better.
$9.95 is better.
Yeah, because it's a nice round number.
No, because people, no, because the study is that you don't even really see the 99.
The only numbers he sees is on the roulette table.
I don't know.
But for the answer as to whether or not 1945 is just a nice round number or if it has something to do with the Trinity site, only time and Otto will tell.
Ah, Dr. Wow. K.
Dr. K.
All right.
Dr. K. Our life is in your hands, Dr. K.
Is our life's in your hands, Dr. K?
Our life
and
is
also,
in your hands.
And this is the sound our life is making right now.
That's a dying rabbit?
This is a dying rabbit noise.
I told you.
Why is it wasting all of its final moments like that?
Because it's trying to call other rabbits in to help?
No.
I don't want to hear that anymore.
Yeah.
No.
When I was a kid, that's what you, if you're out, God damn it, please turn it off.
It's
please
sad.
Turn it off.
You don't like
it
the smell?
It sounds like the death rattle of a child.
Turn it off. God damn it. Please turn it off.
He's going to explode.
That sound is called social media.
Yeah. No. But that's it brings back so many fucking memories because like back when I was a kid, they would do when you're out like hunting, if you have to like hunt coyotes, if you got a coyote problem or something like that, is that you get the fucking sound of a rabbit dying and you put it on a loudspeaker and you play it at night. And then if you do that, then it attracts scavengers like coyotes and you just sit there and just
Jesus
I would
Christ.
Rather listen to Jonestown.
Yeah.
I'd rather hear the Jonestown tapes.
Yeah, I don't. Yep. And I don't like death. In animals. So.
Not anymore.
I don't like death in general for most people.
No, man. Sometimes you got to fucking embrace the fucking Reaper.
Yeah.
That's what I do, man. I'm afraid of the Reaper, man.
I feel like if everything goes well, your last word is like, oh.
No, we've talked about how sad are. It's going to be, oh, shit.
Yeah. No, I just don't want my last words to be wait. Wait, wait,
wait,
wait,
wait,
wait,
wait, wait, wait, wait, wait, wait.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I think my last sentence would be like, get on with it then.
Yeah, while you're surrounded by a group of yelling villagers.
Or, I want to die on my feet.
That's cool.
That's a good one, yeah.
Can you make it a jumbo, please? That's how I'm going to die.
There you go. The next customer that orders a jumbo, I'm going to
shoot
in the fucking
head. May I have a jumbo, please? This was really fun. I'm glad that we're getting into the UFO disclosure. Next week, we're going to be doing some, we're going to get back into some old-timey history that is going to make you not happy.
Mm.
It's going to make us happy.
It's going to make us happy. Let's just say, I'll give you a hint. Donner Party on the Water.
I can't wait.
Oh, my God.
I can't wait, because guess what? It is the Donner Party on the Water. It is a BYOH.
We covered
something. Bring your own
human.
There you go.
We did. Fun.
What was the one that we covered that was on the water with the military?
The USS Indianapolis.
Also fucked up.
It's kind of a combination of the Indianapolis and the Donner Party. That's actually how, that's a pretty good way of describing it.
I can't wait. I really, really can't wait. But thank you guys so much. Thank you for going to see Page 7 of Whizbrew. I'm having a really good time on tour.
It's a great show. I saw it here in Los Angeles at the Bourbon Room. Fucking great show. So go out and
check
it out.
Super funny. I don't think we have anything else to plug except for the last comic book on the left, volume 2, is finally shipping to you.
Yes, it's finally shipping. Pictures of it.
We're getting it out there.
It's happening.
The next one,
so
when
much.
We do the next one, it is literally, we've already spoke with the publishers and they're totally into it too with Z2, is that it is, we are putting it out when it's ready to come out. So you're going to make sure you got it. Mm-hmm. And we're very excited because volume 2, it's got a lot of great shit in it. And it volume does. 3 already has a bunch of really cool art and work in it. I want you to see.
Yeah, I've already written a story for volume 3. I've written an alien story for volume 3 that will be continued in volume 4. And we've got some amazing artists working on variant artwork as well. We got one guy, not going to announce it yet, even though I've seen it, that it's going to blow your fucking mind. Who
Stan
we got?
Stan Lee. Stanley.
We dug up his bones.
We're
going to teach him how to write.
Yeah.
Because he also never, we teach him how to draw because he never drew.
We'll also teach him how to write because when you let him write his own characters, they were incredibly sexist.
Was it like
awful? Incredibly sexist.
No condoms, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I make them disappear.
I'm talking about fucking Stripperella. Like,
what's wrong with Stripperella?
Hey, it's a job.
Stripper by night, superhero by day. Where there's not a lot of crime.
Yeah, her superpowers were her.
So then you could sleep during the day.
Yeah, her luscious boobies, and she could make men say whatever secret they have.
That's true. But yes, that's what Stan Lee made when Stan Lee couldn't steal his ideas from Jack Kirby or Steve Ditko.
He's horny. He's Stan Lee.
He was. And there's a lot of issues with that as well.
Yeah. There's many issues.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you in the land down under in August. Can't wait to see you all then. Thanks for supporting all the shows and our new little ventures on Sirius. Thanks for all the calls. Y'all are wonderful.
Yep.
And yeah, just keep on supporting all the shows here on the network.
The stream will be starting up probably within the next 3 weeks.
Cannot wait. I've already got some fun videos.
Cannot wait.
Man, I've been mining those again. The internet has provided, there's been a lot since we've been gone.
Oh yeah, dude. No, it's thick.
I think people have gotten crazier and dumber.
Yeah.
Which is a combo that we need for our stream.
Yep. And I have a theory for that. I'm not going to go into it now, but there's very much a theory as to why the entirety of the world has gotten both crazier, dumber, and meaner. All at the same time.
We're going to get into it.
Bing bong, baby.
Bing bong.
All right, everyone. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gabe.
Magustalations.
Hail me, because you know my body needs it.
That's right.
Hail my fourth belly.
Hail your fourth belly and look to the skies. You're not going to say anything? You're just going to give me another look.
5G.
I hate you.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.